Welcome to the Connect with County Leaders podcast with your host, Brian Hill, County Executive of Fairfax County, Virginia. Connect with County Leaders gives listeners the opportunity to hear County Executive Hill discussing the county's opportunities, priorities, and issues with leaders from around the county.
Hello and welcome to Connect with County Leaders. As you know, I'm Brian Hill. On this edition of the podcast, it's my extreme pleasure to bring back for the third time, because we were going over this, George Mason University's men's basketball head coach, Tony Skin. Tony Skin played guard for the George Mason Patriots from 2003 to 2006, then professionally for 6 years before entering coaching. Coach, you have been with Mason now since 2023. Wow, it's time flies. Welcome back.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Man, I remember the first podcast, I showed you some bobbleheads and you were looking at them. You're like, I don't even have one of those.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm put some shade on your president. I said, we need to have Tony Skin bobblehead night. He still hasn't responded back on my text. That was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So we got to talk to him.
Well, at least we have a bobblehead now. It doesn't look like me, but it's we have one. So,
well, you know, it's my pleasure to have you back again. And like I said, you've done great things for George Mason. You tied the program record for wins last season. You won the regular season championship. How do you keep the momentum going, man?
Yeah, no, it's not easy in this landscape, for right. one. I think, you know, when you have a chance to have an opportunity the way I did, you want to just make sure your first year, your first couple of years, you're setting the foundation, you're setting your culture. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, we were able to do that. You know, it's not easy to win 47 games in 2 years. It doesn't happen for a first-time head coach, especially when your first job is at the Atlantic 10 record. But when you win, good things happen. That's happened. It's happened for myself, for my staff. It's been great for the university. But more importantly, it's been great for our players. Mm-hmm. Guys have been able to move on to bigger and better things. We've got guys that are playing now professionally overseas. We've got guys playing at other institutions, making a whole lot of money. And so all those good things, you know, it's a great thing that's happened. But now it's just about being consistent. You know, George Mason, over the last 20 years, we've had kind of like our ups and downs with mm-hmm. different coaches mm-hmm. and different things of that nature. But I think right now it's just trying to figure a way for us to be in that conversation of postseason. I think we're trending in the right direction.
You know, you made an interesting comment. You got young people playing professionally, but then you said you got young people playing at other institutions. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a lot older than you, and in my day, it was called a red shirt because you had to sit out yep. a year, and you lose a year of eligibility sitting out. Mm-hmm. Today, they can transfer whenever they want. I see football, they play 3 games and say they're going in the portal to play for someplace else next year. I mean, for a coach and for an institution, and if you're not part of the Power Four now, mm-hmm. how do you make that work? I mean, 25 yeah. wins, you made it work, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a Power Four, or Power Five, or a mid-major conversation. We're all dealing with the same issues. Yeah. That issue is, you know, it's retired some coaches, retired my coach, Jim yeah. Larinaga, retired Tony Bennett, and the list goes on. And I think for me, the one thing that I try to find some sort of comfort in is I'm a younger coach. I kind of walked into the landscape as it changed, and I consider myself one of the better recruiters in the country. And so I'm always recruiting.
Right.
And that's what this has become. You know, right. You can have a good team today, but that team won't be there tomorrow. And so mm-hmm. you're trying to make sure you're recruiting your current guys, but knowing the climate, good, bad, or indifferent, you're going to lose guys.
Yeah.
And yes, you know, back in the day, sitting out was a part of your decision-making if you were going to transfer. But with that being gone, it's really become the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
But the ones that are able to adapt to it, I think the best are just going to be the ones that are competitively still doing what they need to do to just keep their programs in a good spot.
Well, you know, 47 wins in 2 years, I think you've adapted quite well, and we're happy and blessed to have you here in Fairfax County and George Mason University. But, you know, you got somebody else that you got to look after over there in George Mason, Vanessa Blair-Lewis, who's also putting some ducats down on victories.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking at how you guys have combined wins and the most wins ever in 1 year between male and female basketball, what does that say about your program's direction? I mean, because You win, she's winning.
Yeah.
That's unprecedented in the A-10, I think. I don't think I've seen both men and female teams or women teams being at the same place. She went to the NCAA tournament. You went to the NIT. But, again, you got 47 wins in 2 years.
Yeah, I think it's first of all, shout out to Vanessa Blair Lewis and her program. She's been phenomenal. Even when I got the job, just having conversations with her, I knew right away how competitive she was. But, you know, again, as an alum, as somebody that kind of knows George Mason's history and the success that we've had, it is unprecedented times that we're winning, she's winning. But I think it also shows leadership from the top. You know, we're not successful if Dr. Washington, our leader, hasn't supported us. Mm-hmm. We're not successful if, you know, Marvin Lewis hasn't made certain decisions that have just elevated both programs. And so as great as it feels to be, you know, the head coach at George Mason, that success is coming from the top, and our leadership has been phenomenal in supporting us, especially in a landscape where you got to make these tough decisions. You know, when you talk about opting into, you know, the rev sharing, when you talk about just making sure we're competitive enough to be able to just recruit guys and the support in that conversation, you know, again, it starts with leadership, and it hasn't been done. And so the credit has to go to the top, to our administration, our athletic director, and also our president.
Well, it's got to get a lot of creativity. I mean, you recruit better than most. You've been very creative in your recruiting. And now, and I, you know, as you walked in, I said, Tony, another 13 plays. You're like, nah, another 11. It really don't matter, 11 or 13. That's a lot of new blood and a new talent. So talk to me about the transfer portal and how you've been so successful.
Yeah, it's not easy. I've got a great staff. Those guys are also high-level recruiters. That's why I hired them. Mm-hmm. I think when you're successful, though, the way we were winning the league and then just losing so many guys, we lost 91% of our production in minutes. You know, the next wave of guys that, you know, we bring on these recruiting visits, it's easy to just sell opportunity.
Right.
That was an easy thing to do. We won last year. This is how we did it. And these are the guys that left. And when you're a competitor, once you get outside the NIL conversation, you want to be able to have a transparent view of, you know, where you stand, where you fit, and where the opportunity is. And we were able to do that. We're very, very intentional with the guys that we needed at the positional needs that we needed. A lot of programs, you know, when you lose that much, you're talking for each player, each position, maybe two or three guys. That's, you know, two or three official visits. You know, we actually went 7 for 7 in the 11 that we ended up signing. So it made it just a lot easier down the stretch for us to just kind of focus on some of the supporting cast that we needed for our roster. But it wasn't easy. But again, when you win and there's opportunity, it gets a little bit easier.
Yeah, I know. And I think my guy from Ottawa, Canada, is still there.
Yes, Braden O'Connor makes up the remaining 9% of production in minutes. So it's good to see him out there. He's been phenomenal. He actually had one of his better practices today. He's playing with confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to have to go from being, you know, Robin to Batman, but we're going to need him. He's our captain. But, you know, he started every single game for us on that team last year. And so hopefully that helps us this year.
Now, last year I saw you switching in between the one and the two. This year, I'm not knowing who's on your roster yet because, yes, I've been lax. Mm-hmm. You've told me to come to practice. I have not. I will say
busy
that.
Man.
Hey, but I will be there. You know that. But when you look at your roster and the construction of your roster now, who do you have and who are you looking for to take us back to the 25, 26, hopefully 27-plus win season?
That's a lot of pressure, man. Let's just make sure we know the stat. 27 wins is the most in 60 years. And so
that's all right.
If we come anywhere near that, I'll be a happy man. You know, we're going to be a little different this year just because, you know, it's a ball screen offense. And last year we didn't have – I didn't think we had the natural playmaking that I would have liked in that type of offense. And so we had to get a little creative with Braden. Braden had never played the point guard position before coming to Mason, but I thought he had enough to be able to just kind of get us through, and he did that. And obviously we had Katie Johnson, who, you know, wasn't a point guard either.
Yeah.
Didn't play the point at Auburn.
He was just a scorer.
Yeah, he was just a scorer, a guy that can make some plays for you down the hill, down the stretch. And he did that last year. Going into the market, though, I wanted to be intentional about that position. I'm trying to play with multiple playmakers on the floor. And so Jahari Long, who's a transfer from Maryland, he was there my one single year that I was there at Maryland as well. He was at Seton Hall with me as well. You know, he's a 6'4 guard that's played at the highest level, ultimate playmaker. All the guys love playing with him because he just knows how to play, plays the right way, and he's got good size. Corey Mincy from Presbyterian College, who's a smaller guard but can really, really shoot it. His assist to turnover ratio on paper, hopefully it translates at the A-10 level. Mm-hmm. He's going to be able to do some things in the ball screen for us. And then you still have Braden O'Connor, who, you know, naturally did that for us last year. And, you know, we're going to be able to just kind of have two or three of those guys on the floor at the same time and, you know, hopefully just get better in that department, because we weren't very good in our assist to turnover ratio last year. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But when you look at metrics, you know, you can't be great at everything.
Right.
But hopefully just from a playmaking standpoint, from an offensive standpoint, we're a lot better, because I don't know if we'll be the same team defensively. So we've got to be better offensively.
So what do you mean you're not going to be the same team defensively? Because I'm looking forward for my Patriot pressure.
Yeah. Well, schematically, we're going to get after it. Like, we're still going to have, you know, our different defenses and, you know, try to show teeth is what I say. And you want the personality of your team to never change regardless of the personnel. You know, but the reality is retention affects that. All these different things that we're trying to do. You know, we had Jared Billups. You know, we had Darius Maddox, Jalen Haynes, who sat out, Woody Newton. Those guys had the foundation and understood what Patriot pressure is, or at least was, because they did it for a year. You know, you lose all those guys, and then you try to replace it and teach 11 new guys.
It's a lot.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And you don't want to spend two and a half hours every day trying to teach something that retention teaches by itself.
Right.
And so we're going to be creative, but I just don't know if we're going to see that. When you lose the defensive player of the year, Jared Billups, it changes a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned three names, University of Maryland, you mentioned South Carolina, and you mentioned Massachusetts Lowell. So let me ask you a question about keeping our talent in the DMV here. How's that going for you?
Well, you know, I think we've been good. You know, I think our current roster in the 3 years now that I've been here, this is probably the least we've had DMV guys. That's just kind of the way the lay of the land kind of works. You know, when I originally took the job, we hit a bunch of home runs, and a bunch of those home run guys were local guys that I recruited in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, Woody Newton is from Maryland. You know, Darius Maddox is from Maryland. Jared Billups is from Maryland. And so I don't think, and again, this is not just a DMV thing. I think this is really nationwide. When you look at the last 10 to 12 years of the NCAA tournament, the teams that have won have had at least one or two DMV guys.
Right.
And so, you know, for me, you have to be able to win the DMV recruiting battle. I think we're competitive. The high school league, the WCAC, you know, those guys go to college way more ready than most guys in the country. Right. And again, I'm biased because I'm from the area. But if we're going to be good, we're going to have to continually be really, really good in our background. And that's just making sure we're winning those 2 to 3 hour battles within the area.
All right. Well, you know, this year marks the 20th anniversary of a Final Four run. That tells me I'm getting way old. Mm-hmm. You're just getting old.
Yeah, I'm getting way old.
But tell me, what does that mean? And I hear coaches coming back for it. So what does that mean to you to be a part of that? So your kids can see, hey, man, Coach Skinner had some game.
Yeah, no, it's important for so many reasons. I think for me, one of the reasons why I wanted to make sure that we did this the right way is just because I think, you know, Jim Larranaga is the greatest coach that's ever coached at George Mason. And making sure he gets his flowers while he's here was important to me. Obviously, we actually had something set up where Miami was actually going to come play us this year at home to celebrate it. Mm-hmm. You know, but different things happen. Right. He retires, and all of a sudden that game is off the table. But being able to bring not only Coach L back, being able to bring my teammates back, you know, I think for our fans and for our supporters, it's very, very important for them to see us. It's not going to be new to us because we all communicate. We have a group chat that, you know, it's a little bit out of control, to be honest with you. I try to stay out of the group chat, but those guys communicate at a high level. They're still competitive. And so bringing those guys back to Fairfax, it's important. I think it's going to be a special day. I want to make sure we're celebrating Coach L the right way. But then also, you know, we also got to make sure we're focused in winning the game that we have to win against ODU as well.
Right. Hey, speaking about ODU, you got a very heavy Virginia schedule. What was your mindset about creating the schedule the way it is being structured?
Well, again, there's a lot of layers to scheduling. And when you win, scheduling just becomes that much harder. You know, we were able to get Duke last year. We were able to get Marquette last year because they just didn't know our roster. I knew our roster, so I was okay with that, with that game and that type of schedule. But now you fast forward, you win the league, and all of a sudden nobody's responding back to, right. to you know, those phone calls and those text messages. And so you try to get creative, you know, for different reasons, budget reasons, whatever that may be. And so sometimes local just ends up being what it is. Okay. You know, Virginia Tech, I remember reaching out to Coach in April, and he said absolutely not. And then 2.5 months later, he had no choice but to play us.
Right.
So I think it's a great thing for us. I think, you know, for us, if we're going to be Nova's team, we've got to be able to play teams in the state. We've got to be able to win those games. And so I'm excited for so many different reasons. You're talking CAA foes from ODU and JMU when I played, all those competitive games that I experienced. Hopefully our fans get a little bit of nostalgia in those games as well.
You know, I've been – obviously, you know, I talked a lot to the hierarchy at GMU, George Mason University, and Marvin Lewis and I talk probably more than you and I talk, but I prefer to talk to you. I'm just going to say that to everybody. But, you know, when we came up with that moniker, Nova's team, it was because we were trying to put some people into the seats. What does that mean to you to be Nova's team, and what do we have to do in Nova to help you get to where you want to be?
Yeah, I think it's all part of, you know, my mantra, the patriot pressure. Mm-hmm. As much as our guys are going to play as hard as they're going to play, they're going to represent, they get motivated by support. They get motivated by seeing people in the stands, and we can't do that without the community of Northern Virginia. And also being Nova's team. But there's no football at George Mason. There's no football in the state of Virginia. And so I think we're the main attraction. And outside of men's basketball and women's basketball, it has been very, very competitive. We've also won five this past year. We won five conference championships across all sports.
Right.
And so we're thriving athletically, and we want to be consistent, but we're going to continue to need the help from the community as much as possible. And so we are Nova's team, and you know that support is a major reason why we've been successful. But you know there's still a lot. Room for growth.
Well, the season starts this month. You know, how can our guys, how can our fans, how can our community get tickets to see what we consider to be the Patriot pressure?
Yeah, gomason.com/tickets.
Simple as that.
Simple as that.
All right. Tony Skin, men's basketball coach at George Mason University, thanks for being here and good luck this season. Still to come, a new employee spotlight feature in the podcast called Connect with the Gang. And this month, we will be talking more basketball with Terrence Trent from Gum Springs Community Center in Mount Vernon. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And, Coach, third time, I appreciate it. I hope we have 4, 5, and 6 more to go.
Yeah, time flies. I appreciate you.
My guy, appreciate you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye, Coach.
Yep.
Did you know lifelong education and learning is an area of focus in Fairfax County? Visit our website and find out how the county is shaping the future of Fairfax to become a place where all residents at every stage of life are taking advantage of inclusive, responsive, and accessible learning opportunities that enable them to grow, prosper, and thrive.
Hey, welcome back to the Connect with County Leaders podcast. It's time now for our employee spotlight segment, Connect with the Gang, with Terrence Trent, Human Development Specialist at Gum Springs Community Center. What's going on, my friend?
Not too much, my brother. Good to see you.
Hey, man, it's always good to have the team back in here. There's so many things we do in this county that folks don't even recognize the fact that, one, the county is a large county.
Absolutely.
And two, we have a lot of employees doing a lot of great things. So tell me what you're doing down in Gum Springs.
We got a lot going on at Gum Springs, man. We're the hidden gem. A lot of people don't understand the good and the bad that comes out of that place. But everything these last few months, last couple of years have been really great. I'm just getting back on board. I did drop down and went part-time for a while. And now I'm back fully full-time, back in my role like I never left. But we got a lot of great things going on at Gums, and one of our biggest things coming up right now is our Fight for Cancer and Domestic Violence basketball tournament we got going on this weekend, starting between 2 and 6 o'clock. Breast cancer versus domestic violence, where we're going to be raising some money to give back to the Breast Cancer Foundation of Washington, D.C., and then also the House of Ruth for domestic violence, ladies that have been through some trauma stuff and taking place in their lives.
So when you say we're having a basketball tournament, now, mind you, this podcast will be airing probably after the basketball tournament, but absolutely, that's still a good thing.
Yes, sir.
How many young people are going to be a part of this basketball tournament, or are there some old heads in here too?
There's definitely some old heads and some young. It's an 18 and over adult league. We have about 110 participants that are signed up. We have about eight teams that are in right now. So this weekend is just going to be the one-day tournament where we're going to get people in and out. We'll crown the king of the DMV. So we have some people coming over from the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area all through one. So we call it the DMV King of the Ring. So it's going to be a great thing. We're definitely going to take the proceeds and donate them to those two areas. It's a partnership with Eagles Nest Youth Association.
Okay.
With the leader's president is Mark Williams. Okay. He's actually one of the ones that's going to be collecting the donation fees. Okay. And then we'll be breaking bread with those two organizations.
Now, it's a good blend. You got basketball. Mm-hmm. Kings of the DMV, and then you have domestic violence and House of Ruth. Now, the question I have for you is, you know, NCS is a big, Neighborhood Community Services is a big organization. When you're talking about domestic violence, that's run within, also within DFS.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me, if you can, about the collectiveness between our two, because it's all about strategic planning.
Absolutely.
It's all about making sure our silos stay unsiloed.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing and what you're talking about is a great thing. So talk about how NCS and DFS is getting together, Department of Family Services, sorry, about how they get together to make sure that we can do this type of organization event down there or charity event down there in you said the Gum?
Gum Springs, okay, Community
all right,
Center,
all right,
located off of Richmond Highway.
The highway.
The highway.
That's right.
It's a collaboration that everybody needs to have, be a part of. It's something that a lot of people put in the background. A lot of people don't like to talk about it. It's real sensitive. We try to do our best to make sure that we're touching all bases when it comes to these type of things and bring that awareness to everybody, for the good and the bad. We want to make sure that people aren't scared to speak up. And domestic violence is just not for women, it's for men as well. It's one of those things where people need to know about it and say something about it. So if you see something, say something.
Right.
So I would love for everybody to be a part of it and make it worldwide. Why not?
So you're making this an annual event, correct?
It's an annual event that's going to take place. It's been taking place for a while now.
Right.
We're just bringing the spotlight to the Virginia area.
Okay.
To make sure that we can make that awareness aware in Virginia.
So here's my commitment to you.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask Joe Meyer from Shelter House and Kerry Wilson from Cornerstones to get actively involved, because that is what they do with permanent supportive housing and domestic violence.
Absolutely.
So again, the synergy about what you're doing down in Gum Springs is what we are here doing in Fairfax County. It is about One Fairfax.
Absolutely.
And it is about strategic planning. Now, talk to me about you. I mean, you're doing all this great stuff down in Gum Springs. What else would you like to do down in Gum Springs?
Man, Gum Springs is such a historical place, man.
Mm-hmm.
We try to make sure that we touch bases for everything. We're just a hidden gem. We have so much that goes on and takes place. Our senior program is amazing. Our youth program is amazing. My team over at Gum Springs is amazing. So if people have ideas, we try to make sure we bring them alive. That's our job. That's my duty. When you come in the doors of Gum Springs, we're one big family, and we treat everybody that walks through our doors like family. And I speak and stand behind that 110%. And the people that work with me and work under me, they follow my footsteps to make sure that we bring that awareness to everything that people want to see.
Well, as long as you continue to profess the One Fairfax tenets and start giving me more love on my countywide strategic plan, we're in good place. But, you know, when I look at a strong community and how they're built through partnerships, mm-hmm. you're doing exactly what I believe we should be doing as a county, mm-hmm. as a state, and, you know, hopefully as a nation.
Absolutely.
So I want to say really kudos to you and your team. So what can each of us do to help build more connected and equitable communities, not only across Fairfax County, because I think you have a model here,
mm-hmm.
but how can we like broaden it throughout Fairfax, then bring it through the state, and then again, hopefully get to our nation?
Everybody has to make things more personal. Get to know a person as a person. Don't judge. Mm-hmm. Don't turn your back on people. Mm-hmm. You just never know what people are going through. I think with today's society, everybody kind of minds their own business because they're worried about what the next person is going to say. It's just one of those things where you got to open up your horizons and open the door.
Right.
You just never know what people need in life.
Right.
And that you can only figure that out by having those personal conversations. So everybody that comes through the Gum Springs Community Center, I always make sure I make everything personal. I want to know, how was your day? What you got going on? What's new? How's the family? As I said to you, how's everybody? You know,
right.
It's a big piece. And I think that's what's missing.
Right.
There's no more love going on in the world. So I think that's a big piece. Be genuine about what you say. Be genuine about what you do so we can make sure that you rub off on the next person.
Now, I want to ask you a big favor for me.
Absolutely.
I want you to make this mantra down at Gum Springs. Mm-hmm. If you see somebody walk by you, you say hello.
That's
if
fair.
If you don't say hello, tap them on their shoulder until they say hello, because I walk through all these buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I tap people and I will chase you down. I said hello.
right?
Because you never know who you're going to be speaking to and
Absolutely.
Who you're with. And if that person that walks in and you can make that one bit of difference, we're in a better place.
Absolutely.
So you keep doing what you do. Understand?
Yes, absolutely.
My God.
You got my promise.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Connect with County Leaders podcast. My thanks to Terrence Trent for joining me, as well as GMU's men's basketball coach, Tony Skin. And thanks to you for joining us. I look forward to talking with you again next month on another episode of Connect with County Leaders podcast. And Terrence, I appreciate you for being here, my guy.
I appreciate the opportunity.
My dude. All right, bro. All right.
This has been the Connect with County Leaders podcast with Fairfax County Executive Brian Hill. To listen to other great Fairfax County podcasts, visit fairfaxcounty.gov/podcasts. And for additional audio content, tune in to Fairfax County Government Radio at fairfaxcounty.gov/radio. For more Fairfax County news and event information, visit News Center online at fairfaxcounty.gov/news. The Connect with County Leaders podcast is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.